The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30 p.m., and welcome to the Mark B. Lee's Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Season 4, Episode 6, and thank you for joining us. Tonight's show may contain spoilers up through the last episode and anything from current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to Episode 6 of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4. After tonight, we have two episodes left until the mid-season finale. Well, that includes the mid-season finale, 7 and 8. Current theory is that the front 8 episodes of Fear will wrap with mid-season finale Episode 8 on June 10th, then likely to resume around mid-August so that the back half will line up with Season 9 of The Walking Dead Classic, likely in October. All this is based on prior patterns and could change. Stay tuned for updates as we get them. I am going to take a quick break and welcome one of our regulars to the show that has just joined us. Thanks, Kelly, for joining us. All righty. Joan has just showed up, so let me also welcome Joan. Alrighty, thanks for joining us, and hopefully some of our other friends will be joining us too shortly. So, typically we start the show a half hour before the new episode airs every week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss any spoilers you know or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about the show that we're presented. Call in to speak with the host if you guys want at 914-338-0314. The best time is between 8:30 and 9 p.m., If you call during the show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in the live chat room, which is on the website and the link we post every week, where you'll be able to listen to the show live, as well as download the episode after the fact, and that will be at the link that we post on our Facebook page and Twitter. So if you're unable to join us by 9 p.m., you can still go to that episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top of the page, top right of the page. So let me check the chat room, see if anybody has anything to add real quick. Kelly's waving and Joan has some pretty flowers. That's awesome. Okay. So, episode 6 is called Just in Case. The official AMC synopsis is: Strand wrestles with Madison's decisions. Things take an unexpected turn at the stadium. And as I often do, there are additional extended synopses that I have for you guys, and I have three of those that I'm going to read to you. Pardon? The first one is from fansided.com, one of our regular sources for info for the show. It's just entitled Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 6, Synopsis, Just in Case. It was written by Brittany Frederick one day ago, and she says, Fear the Walking Dead puts Madison Clark under a microscope this week. The official synopsis, which I'll skip because I already gave it to you. And then she says, Sunday's episode is called Just in Case, which feels like it should be a motto for every single character on this group, given how they get themselves into life-threatening trouble at almost every turn. But the person particularly on the hot seat this week is Madison Clark. Her decisions have raised the eyebrow of Victor Strand, giving him a bit of a headache. But that's the exact same position Madison was in during Fear the Walking Dead Season 3. Her leadership came into question. People thought they knew better, and it turned out they didn't, really. So what's going to be the problem and the difference this time? And Strand is definitely a guy you don't want to be on the wrong side of. His questionable morals mean that if he has an issue with Madison, that's definitely saying something. Strand's the kind of person who makes plenty of iffy choices himself. He, of all people, should understand where she's coming from, but apparently not. We'll have to find out if Madison's credibility takes another hit Sunday when things come to a head with her and Strand. And that's not all that's going down this week, as everyone else has another surprise coming, and the word unexpected should generally be avoided here. And that is the end of that particular synopsis, so I'm going to pull up the second one for you. And this is from a source that we don't use that often. This one is from FandemoniumNetwork.com. And hold on just a minute. I'm having a little trouble having the website come up. Give me just a hot second here. Joan is mentioned in the chat, just don't look at the flowers too closely. Yes, actually, that's kind of a thing. Hang on, I have a way for that, and it's funny. Give me just a hot second. There we go.
Look at the flowers.
Yes, Lizzie, look at the flowers. All right, is my website up yet? Okay, here we go. Yes. Oh, it's whining because I have a ad blocker, whatever. Okay, so preview, Fear the Walking Dead, just in case. This was done on May 16th. The author is Sabrina. I don't know who that is. I don't use this website fairly often, so I'm not sure about their naming standard for that. But they say, AMC released the original synopsis, blah, blah, blah. I've already read that to you guys, so I'm not going to do it again. And there's some photos. Oh, you know what? This website actually does not have a whole lot of text. It is mostly just pictures, so that's not useful. Let's go to the third one. We'll pull that up for you guys. Sorry about that. There are some lovely photos, though, which you can see in the chat room, in the box above the chat room. I like to put preview photos from the show coming up. So this one, the third one, is from theinquisitor.com, which we do use sometimes. It's done on May 14th. And it says, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 6, Preview. AMC takes viewers back to the stadium. And this is by Rachel Soumbakos, T-S-O-U-M-B-A-K-O-S. I hope I said that even close to correctly, Rachel. So she says, Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead Season 4 revolved entirely around telling the backstory of John Dory and Laura/Naomi. For those who are eager to find out if Madison Clark is alive or not, this was not the episode to make you happy. They mean last week. However, it appears now that AMC has made this detour, Episode 6 will return to telling the story of what happened at the stadium. And, okay, official synopsis again. I keep skipping by those. This synopsis indicates that Episode 6 of Fear will revolve around the stadium storyline, meaning viewers may not get to see much of the present-day storyline involving Morgan, John Dory, and Alicia's group. It also suggests it might be the turning point when things went bad. However, it also suggests that Strand, at least, who wanted to leave the stadium in Episode 4, might still be grappling with his decision as he struggles with some of Madison's decisions. While the synopsis looks like it will be focusing on the stadium storyline alone, fans will be relieved to discover that one of the trailers for Episode 6 reveals more of the present day. And there is a photo from the trailer where John Dory and Morgan are on the side of the road talking. At the very start of the first clip, John Dory and Morgan are seen together, indicating the present-day Fear the Walking Dead storyline. The clip indicates they may have run into another member of the Vultures. The second clip shows the stadium storyline with Naomi wanting to go out alone and search a place she knows which might have supplies. After watching Episode 5 of Fear, viewers might first think she wants to return to John's place, and that's why she wants to go alone. In the end, Madison ends up tagging along. And the final clip contains some stuff that I consider spoilery, so I'm going to stop and not read that part. But I can tell you that there are photos from the trailer that go along with this, and it seems to be a facility that she was connected to when the outbreak began. That is in the trailer, so I will allow that. And there's a large building with walkers and camp beds, also in the trailer, so I will allow that. And that is all for those. So that's all I really have to say as far as giving you synopses ahead of time. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on to the next section. Now, as I have been doing sometimes, I do the writers and directors for each episode. And I was on a roll for a bit. And then my main source for this, Wikia.com, has changed their format. And it is most annoying and does not have the nice writers and directors and things that I've been using, or the trivia, or the goofs and outtakes. They usually had those, and I do not like their change in format. I'm not sure what's up with that. What it means is I don't have all of the data I usually have for you guys. I have some of it. So tonight's episode is written by, I don't know, TBA. The director is Daisy von Schirler-Mayer. So Daisy is from New York City. She has previously directed episodes for almost 40 shows, including Mad Men, Nurse Jackie, Orange is the New Black, and Halt and Catch Fire. Tonight is her first work with anything in the Walking Dead franchise. And info I did not have for you last week. Last week's writer for episode 5 was Anna Fischko. Anna has been a supervising producer for episodes 1 through 4 of Fear, and last week's episode 5 was her first time as a writer. Pardon. As I mentioned, I don't have much in the way of trivia for this week or last week, annoyingly, and I apologize for that. I usually like to have that for you guys. Tonight's episode is the 43rd episode. I do not see an indicator that it's going to run over, but they did that to me last week. They didn't say it would, and it did by about 5 minutes, if that really matters. I'm going to check the chat room, see how we're doing real quick. Everything's quiet, so let's go ahead and go on. Cast birthdays. We have two. Sankrish Balasubramanian. Bala. And he played Dr. Caleb Subramanian in Prison Season 4. And his birthday is May 21st, and he is from Mumbai, India. Apologies for my pronunciation butchery. And other birthdays this week, Melissa Suzanne McBride, who plays Carol, her birthday will be May 23rd, and she is from Lexington, Kentucky. So let's go ahead and wish these guys a happy birthday. Thank you for all your work on the show. Always appreciate it. Please join us again next Sunday, May 27th at 8:30 p.m. for episode 7, which will be The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now. So there's only two remaining episodes after tonight. Number 7, The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now, where Madison's decision to help an adversary has unintended consequences. Meanwhile, John Dory's life hangs in the balance. And then episode 8, which is the mid-season finale, called No One's Gone. Madison fights to preserve the life she worked so hard to build. Morgan tries to do the right thing. That will air on June 10th. After June 10th, we will have a hiatus. And remember to watch for Fear Part 2 sometime, I am guessing, in mid-August, and Walking Dead Classic in October. Featured music. And we have to give a cookie to Kelly's husband, David, who found this for us. Season 4, Episode 5, Laura, the featured music was Al Green's version of Take Me to the River, and it was used in a flashback where John Dory is awoken by his Big Mouth Billy Bass alarm clock. And it's used a couple times, once to when he wakes up to find Laura gone. So, discussion links, I will pull up the first article I have for you guys. While I'm doing that, I'm going to check the chat room, see how we're doing. Yep, still quiet. Okay, so first article I have is from The Inquisitor, and it's from the 16th, April 16th, pardon me. So, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, already comparisons have been made from John to Rick and Laura to Lori. This is one of those articles I started to read to you guys, and it was awful late in the evening, so we didn't really get to finish it very well, and so I said I'd just go ahead and do it again later. Subtext, how long will it take Morgan to work out that people are the same everywhere he goes? This is another one by Rachel Sumbakos. She may be a regular for the Inquisitor on this show, or, you know, person who writes about it. So, on Sunday night, Morgan made the long walk from The Walking Dead to its companion program, Fear the Walking Dead. And now, remember, this was in mid-April. Almost immediately, he met John Dory, a character who is desperately looking for a woman named Laura. But has Morgan traveled all this distance to meet someone just like Rick Grimes? Apologies, I had a cough. It says spoiler alert, but this is from a month ago, so it won't be now. You know, this article contains information about the season 4 premiere, but you guys have already seen that. So, season 4 premiere, saw the introduction of a new character called John Dory. However, it is his story about a search for Laura that is comparable to Rick Grimes' search for his wife, Lori, in season one of Walking Dead. Pardon me just a moment. So sorry about that. Okay, as Variety points out, episode one of Fear, titled What's Your Story, opens with John Dory talking aloud to himself. In this conversation, he talks of a woman he used to know and how they were in some sort of relationship. Later on in this episode, he reveals this woman's name is Laura. In The Walking Dead classic, Morgan first came into contact with Rick Grimes not long after he awoke from a coma and was trying to locate his wife, Lori, and their son, Carl. In fact, in episode one of Fear, Morgan is even reminded of their first meeting when Rick tried to convince him to return to their group. Quote, a lot of people are here now because you helped me at the beginning, Rick says to Morgan. So already, viewers remember Rick and Morgan's journey. And there's actually, in the article, there's a photo of season one where it's Morgan and his son and Rick just standing outside what looks like the police station. Along with the fact that John is trying to locate a woman he seems to have been in a relationship with whose name starts with L, there are other reminders that he is similar to Rick. John is first seen wearing a distinctive hat, giving him the appearance of a gunslinger when he and Morgan first see each other. When Morgan first came into contact with Rick all that time ago, Rick was also known to wear a very distinctive hat, and as you guys know, that hat went on to Carl. Along with his attire, John has a very special gun. In fact, great care is taken to tell the audience that the gun is fairly unique and that Laura has the matching one. Rick also has a very particular gun he likes to use. So what will this mean moving forward in Fear Season 4? Perhaps Morgan will come to understand that no matter where he is in the Walking Dead universe, good and bad people will always surround him. For Morgan, his battle with his own conscience has been his biggest obstacle, and it seems he found a similar personality in John. While John may seem similar to Rick, he has one fundamentally different trait. John doesn't want to kill humans. So it seems that Morgan, who has always fought Rick's idea that sometimes you just have to kill people in order to protect the group as a whole, has finally met a kindred spirit in John Dory. However, for fans of Fear, they will have to tune in further episodes to discover whether John's way or Rick's way will be the right way in the new world. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, there's your article. There's some chit-chat in the chat room that I will share with you guys. So Joan is wondering, do you think that Naomi slash Laura is really dead? Joan, I actually do not, because you know how this series is famous for spending time on something that seems obvious and then having it be the opposite. And since we have put so much energy into making sure that characters who ought to know have announced that Laura is dead, based on their prior behavior, script writers, I think this surely means she's not. But we shall see. You know, just like Luciana, whose story has also not been addressed yet, somebody is missing and missing and missing, and everyone assumes they're dead because how the hell could they not be? And she has shown back up somewhere between wandering off from the dam and a while later when they end up in Texas. Kelly suspects that she is dead, but will continue to see her in flashbacks. And the Wikia website that I often refer to has her status as, quote, dead, not presumed dead. I find that very interesting that they have actually gone and taken that step. And Jonas mentioned that Jenna Elfman was on Talking Dead last week, which we missed because they keep airing Into the Badlands instead of Talking Dead right after the show, and I honestly don't want to stay up an hour. Apparently, Garrett Dillahunt is on tonight, who's John Dory. Seems like they want to create some sort of suspense, but maybe she's reading something into it that's not there. Kelly says, I hope she is alive. I'd love to see them reunited. Joan says, I'm still holding out for Daniel Salazar, but that's likely futile, maybe. No, Joan, it's not. And this is in promo materials that I have seen, so I don't consider this a spoiler. You can also see it in the cast listing for season four. Daniel is going to have some kind of role on season four. There's a possibility that it might be flashbacks as to what became of him after the dam, but we will at least see some progress on closing up that storyline. Kelly says, we don't get a lot of happy endings on The Walking Dead. No, you know, that's kind of part and parcel of the genre. It's not really supposed to be, you know, The Walking Getty or anything like that. I don't know. Once in a while, we sort of do, but honestly, even the ones that end up happy for a while don't stay there. I mean, like, look at Maggie and Glenn, you know. But anyway, Joan, there's going to be something going on with Daniel. I do not know what, and I do not know if it is in the present day. But his and quite a few people's storylines have not been explained. We don't know how Strand got back here. We don't know how Madison found Nick and Alicia again. We don't know where the hell Luciana's been. And they've got to go and address all these. So I think they'll do something with that. Let me see if I have another article I can read you guys. It's 8:51, so we have a couple minutes. We can take a look at some other stuff. I just have two articles, and then I have the usual Q&As. And I'm going to actually read off the list of Q&As before I pull up this article so that while I'm reading it, and maybe during the breaks, you guys can vote on which Q&A you might like to hear later. So here are the ones I have not yet read. And what I've been doing, if you don't vote, is I've been starting at the bottom and reading that one and then going up the chain. So in this order, I have Lenny James, and this is from 2017. I have Lenny James from 2018. So one's going to be a Walking Dead Q&A, and one's going to be a Fear Q&A with Lenny. I have one from Ray McKinnon, who is Proctor John on Fear Season 3. Michael Gray Eyes, who is Calataka Walker. Edwina Findlay, who is Diana. And Justin Rain, who is Crazy Dog. Justin's is one that I started reading for you guys and did not finish, so I have left that one on the list. So while I'm pulling up this next article, I was hoping you guys might give me an indication of which of the Q&As you would like to see. So, in the meantime, denofgeek.com, which is a source that we use occasionally, and they posted this a little bit ago. Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, behind the scenes of a zombie drama reborn. We spent some time on the set of Fear Walking Dead Season 4 to chat with the main cast and learn how the show has evolved. This was written back on March 29th by John Saavedra, S-A-A-V-E-D-R-A. And he says, there's never been a shakeup in the Walking Dead universe quite like the one you're about to witness on Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. The show, which is known to be quite a bit more nomadic than its older sibling, I debate that, actually, John, but we continue, has moved from the U.S.-Mexico border to the Austin, Texas area. That's not all. Two new showrunners, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, both worked on Once Upon a Time, have replaced Dave Erickson, who co-created the series of Walking Dead mastermind Robert Kirkman. There are also a few new characters joining Madison, Alicia, Nick, and Strand. And there's even a time jump that kicks off the season, and it's been all season. But none of these game-changing details can top this one. Lenny James, who until now has played Morgan Jones on The Walking Dead, has joined the main cast in a once unlikely crossover. The troubled pacifist, Morgan, journeys all the way from Virginia to Texas in the hopes of finding peace. Unfortunately, he quickly discovers in the Season 4 premiere, What's Your Story, that he cannot avoid conflict forever. While I won't spoil exactly how Morgan crosses paths with the other characters, what exactly the Four Seasons is up to, there's plenty I can share from my recent set visit in late January. I had the chance to check out some filming, as well as catch up with the show's stars and new additions. I also visited a brand new set inside of a baseball stadium that's unlike any settlement we've seen in this universe so far. I even learned quite a bit about Fear the Walking Dead's 2-hour premiere on April 15th, which kicks off a brand new story for the show. Here's what you should expect when The Walking Dead arrive in Austin next month. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to check the chat room real quick, see if there's anything else. There is a little bit of chit-chat that I'm going to add before we get too far down. So we're talking about happy endings, blah, blah, blah. And Kelly says, yeah, I was thinking about Maggie and Glenn, too. Happy ending, and then he's bludgeoned to death in front of her. And also, we keep losing sight of the fact she's running around doing all this war while she's pregnant. And they've lost several doctors, and they just got a new one. So I kind of think that means there's going to be something going on where she'll need him in season 9, but we'll see. Season 9 is supposed to be a time jump as well, but not actively in the way that Fear is. Joan says, no, but a little hope now and then, like Maggie and Glenn, is necessary for balance. I agree with you. Kelly says, remember the happy moment with Carol and Tyrese and the girls at the cabin? That was so sweet. Until. And Joan says, yeah, those damn flowers. And Kelly says, psycho Lizzie goes and kills her sister so she can be a zombie playmate. Admittedly, very deserving of the flower view, but still, Joan says, and so forth. So we have that, and then I'm going to go back over to the article and read you the last part. It's 8:55. We've got 5 minutes till we go live. It's an unseasonably cold morning in Smithfield, Texas, although you wouldn't know it from the scene being shot on the set of Fear. It almost feels like high noon in the post-apocalyptic Lone Star State as a scavenger named Edgar rolls a rickety grocery cart full of supplies he stripped from a rundown convenience store. He's loading up his van with an assortment of fluorescent light bulbs, a broom, and other knickknacks, things we might call junk but are actually a survivor's lifeblood in the zombie-infested world, when out of nowhere he hears a click of a revolver, a hammer being pulled back on a custom Colt 45. Enter John Dory, a man Fear stars Kim Dickinson and Alicia Debney Carey later describe as a lonesome cowboy. It's easy to see why as John stands behind Edgar, pointing his gun under the cold Texas sun, his wide-brimmed hat covering his face in shadow. He looks like a gunslinger ripped straight out of an old Western, and John talks like one, too. It's a beautiful Southern drawl that is at once intimidating and funny. His dark Western wear, which comes complete with a wide-brimmed hat, really stands out in a modern-day setting. Quote, well, it's modern day. What kind of dude does this in modern day? Says Delahunt about the ridiculousness of John. Quote, is he crazy? Judging from the first two episodes of season 4, the characters who encounter John on the road don't seem fazed at all by his John Wayne-like appearance. Certainly everybody's seen weirder shit since the outbreak. It also helps that, despite what Edgar may think as he's being held at gunpoint, John's pretty friendly. Quote, he's very good on his own, but he's a social person, says Delahunt. I think he might be the best suited kind of personality to this kind of crisis, which is sort of, he's a real adapter. But he tries to keep his chin up, you know what I mean? In the scene being filmed, John is looking for someone and suspects Edgar, who we quickly discover is working with an enemy faction, has some vital information. The scene is no longer than 2 minutes, but it must feel like an eternity for Edgar, who has to choose whether to tell this stranger what he wants to know or pull out the gun he's been hiding behind his old tan jacket. Edgar prepares to make his move as John asks his question one last time. This tent scene is from episode 4-6, titled Just in Case, directed by Daisy von Schuller-Mayer, Orange is the New Black. The set is actually in an abandoned gas station about 20 yards from the real world. There's a bright yellow house right across the street and a tall water tower in the distance. A store next to the set will sell you a big glazed donut for 90 cents. Despite its surroundings, the set actually looks the part, with a dirt driveway, a rocky field of dead grass out back, and a wooden fence that stands in the way of a man trying to figure out what all the commotion is about. There's a patrol car blocking the road for good measure. There's actually a bit left of this article, but it's 8:58, so I'm actually going to pause here and take a quick peek in the chat room, because we are probably about to go dark shortly. So I wanted to make sure that I unlocked my scroll bar, and I'm watching what everybody's saying and making sure we're ready to go. We've got about a minute and a half. Morgan is in the conversation with John Dory that we also see again this episode, I think. Yes, this is the one from last week. Okay, yes, we're good. Okay, so it's 8:59. I'm kind of in a holding pattern. I will read you the rest of the Den of Geek article when we come to the first break. And you know what? Since it's 8:59, I am going to go ahead and go dark now, and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Hey guys, it is 9:04 and we are already at the first commercial break. So we have Kelly starting with a 6, Joan starting with a 6 because they started with John and Morgan, and I'm at 625 because I actually am kind of interested, intrigued by what exactly is going on here. I'm also kind of happy that it just so happens the article I found for you guys was written a couple months ago, but it was about the filming of tonight's episode, so I thought that was fairly spiffy. Other comments earlier? Let me see. Let me freeze the score back so I don't lose it. So Kelly says, the actor that plays John Dory, she thinks he was in Deadwood and used the same accent and basic manner. Joan vouches that he was in Deadwood, but I can't vouch for the voice or manner, never saw it. And Kelly says, off with the fingers, trigger finger, lost a finger, but hey, they both warned it. And that's true. John Dory did tell him, if you screw around, I'm going to shoot that finger. And he did. So that's all fair. I'm going to go back to the Den of Geek. Let's see. Okay, so yes. Let's go back to our paragraph. Taking a breather just beyond the cameras and the tents for the press, equipment, makeup, and snacks is James, wearing sunglasses and fidgeting with his phone. He looks relaxed and at home on the set, despite the fact that it's a totally different zombie show and cast. At one point between takes, we could even hear him quietly singing Walk the Dinosaur by Was Not Was to pass the time. I kind of like that song too, Lenny. It's pretty cool. Morgan is involved in the scene between John and Edgar, although James keeps quiet about what exactly he's doing with the gunslinger. What is clear is that we're going to meet a Morgan who is going through a bit of rebirth on fear, according to James. Quote, it's a different aspect of Morgan and who he's been and what the potential is of what could happen to him, says James. It's a very weird situation to be associated with a character for as long as I've been associated with a character and then have that character reborn in a way. Yeah, so if you guys remember, Morgan was on the very first season, very early on, so he's one of the oldest running characters on this franchise at all. James is, of course, and they're mentioning what I just said, one of the original cast members of The Walking Dead. His character first appeared in the pilot alongside protagonist Rick Grimes. After that first episode, Morgan appeared sporadically before becoming a series regular in season 6. That said, a lot happened to Morgan between his first meeting with Rick and his arrival in the Alexandria safe zone, events littered with violence and loss, including the death of his son, Dwayne. Things didn't go much better after joining up. Oh, I'm going to shut up because we're back. I did not realize that. Sorry, guys. I'll see you at break number 2.
Or not. I stay behind the camera.
You really think you can stand by and watch a friend's body?
Wouldn't be the first time. How about we just stick to our deal? Ron, for your story. There's some of it. I want to hear all of it.
You can ask us whatever you want. As long as you're going to say.
You go out there, take the bone, and meet up. I just want to know, where are you going to meet up next?
I told you I'm not with whoever you put on with.
Yeah? I've seen one of these before.
It belongs to a guy in El Camino. Jordan knew that, didn't she?
Yeah, what else don't you know?
What happened to her?
Who?
Naomi. This is her gun. She got that thing.
What happened to her?
I don't know. I swear. I told you after that.
Tell me! Hey, what happened to her?
Hey, John.
Tell me!
John.
Hey, tell me!
John.
Hey, hey, no!
John.
Let him go.
Come on, man. Let him go. Just let him go.
They said there should be a group to stay clear of where they were going to meet.
There are people heading there now.
What?
People who want to kill you.
You?
Hear me?
I'm sorry. You better hold on to these. Just for the time being. Just in case.
No. Okay, guys, 9:16. It is commercial break number 2. So let's go ahead and get those scores up and see how we are doing. I'm going to go to 6-5. Oh, looks like everybody's going to 6-5. Okay, this is fine. And let's see about our comments in the chat since the last time we scored. Okay, so Joan says, picking up where we left off, from the look of the blood, it wasn't the trigger finger, most likely pinky or ring finger. And sorry, earlier I was not properly muted when we went back to the show, so apologies for any weirdo noises you heard or excessive background TV. Thank you, Joan, for that. Kelly says, I'm not sure why the vultures are still there. There really aren't any bones left to pick. And I had said, so we're getting all the backstories tonight, you know, except for Luciana and Daniel. And I had said, the vultures are waiting for them to die, literally. Like, I know they don't really have supplies to pick, but I guess there's whatever they're hanging on to that isn't, you know, food and that sort of consumables. And then she's like, but then what? Well, that's how they get their supplies. You know, they take over stuff when it dies and then they move on. I mean, they pretty much said that a couple of episodes ago when we first met them. Kelly has said, there isn't any food or even many supplies left. I suspect all will be gone by the time they're dead. And Joan says, there's other stuff besides food, though, and that's what I'm getting at. They have blankets and bedding and medical stuff. Kelly says, yes, there is a little, but not much. It doesn't seem worth the wait. I don't know. I am assuming that they think that there is something that's worth the wait. I honestly don't entirely know. We've got tonight and 2 more episodes to figure that out, I suppose. We are in a normal commercial, so I'm going to run back and get some more of the article while we can. So, as I was saying, things didn't go much better after joining up with Rick's group as war erupted and Morgan was forced to do what he would never do again, kill. All of the blood on his hands threatened to finally push Morgan over the edge. By the time we catch up with Morgan in the Fear Season 4 premiere, he's back to his no-killing role. We don't know how he got there after all-out war with Negan and the Saviors, but he's in much better shape mentally than you might expect. And, of course, my note is that, you know, it's been quite a while since that time, so we don't know what happened in between. Quote, he kind of had to make a decision about who he is to people and who he wants to be to people, and that's obviously evolved, says James. Certainly in the storytelling, a shift of location. TWDrewards.com, tonight's code is Cobalt, which is from very early in Fear history. So we are about to discover who he is and what's changed about him, end quote. James hints that Morgan and John joined forces at some point in the first half of the season. It kind of sounds like that might be tonight. Quote, two men who are on a series of missions, really. They're not just wandering. And they come across each other, and for certainly the moment of the story we're telling, their journey joins together. End quote. After watching these two in a scene together, the best way to describe Morgan and John is as an odd couple. John likes to talk with new people, eat the foil-wrapped candy he keeps in his coat pocket, and is a bit theatrical. Morgan, on the other hand, is not much for words and just wants to be left alone. As in all good stories, circumstances make it so that these two have to stick together. James also alludes to yet another companion for Morgan, Althea, who is played by Maggie Grace from Lost. I can't say much about Althea, except that she drives a huge SWAT transport with machine guns mounted on its side, as revealed in the Season 4 trailer. She's also one of the most unique characters ever introduced to the Walking Dead universe. I don't know about that either. Her mission is nowhere near what you might expect for a person driving a heavily armed death machine through the wasteland. Quote, Morgan has a connection to Althea, says James. I don't know where it goes yet, but it's kind of a growing relationship. Morgan will, of course, cross paths with some of the other characters in the story. There's a particularly funny scene between Morgan and Nick in the trailer. James says all these relationships evolve throughout the season as the characters go through their own personal conflicts. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, commercial break number 4, it's 9:27, so let's go ahead and get those scores up. I'm not sure if it's break number 3 or number 4. If you guys happen to count back in the chat, let me know. So Joan and Kelly are at 6-7-5. I'm actually going to jump a teeny bit ahead to 7, but let me go back and grab any commentary that we have in the chat room that I can share with you guys since the last break. So, Okay, so Kelly says that kid told them about their food stores, but apparently the food is now gone. And also, the twdrewards.com code is Cobalt, if anybody is doing that. And Kelly notes, at least we know now that Strand came back from that trip. I am wondering, since it's getting creeping up on the mid-season finale, if this is the trip that explains what became of both Laura and Madison, but not sure. I didn't think it was very smart that they parked the car out in the open. Kelly thinks she would sleep in the car. And so the place that Naomi is trying to take them is an abandoned FEMA shelter. And so she managed to leave anyway and take the gun too, Joan says. Naomi isn't that trustworthy, says Kelly. I knew she knew how to hotwire. I didn't know if Strand knew she knew how to hotwire. Kelly says, well, people will know it's FEMA. Great big old truck that says FEMA outside and a sign that says FEMA, but full of walkers inside. And I don't know. I kind of get the impression that Naomi knows that place from when the walkers were all up in there, because it looks like she had them all in there and got them up to go to the door and then is going to go walk around where they're not all crawling around where she needs to be going. I think they're kind of like guard dogs in that they keep people from raiding that place, but she knows how to do it. That's my expectation. Let me jump back over to the article and keep going. As in all good stories, circumstances make it so these two have to stick together. James also alludes to yet another companion from Morgan, Althea, who is played by Maggie Grace from Lost. Actually, we talked about that already. Let me jump down a tiny bit. Morgan, of course, will cross paths with some of the other characters in the story. There's a particularly funny scene between Morgan and Nick in the trailer. James says that all these relationships evolve throughout the season as the characters go through their own personal conflicts. Quote, all the relationships are in flux at the moment. The place where they meet, everybody's in a state of reevaluating who they are and where they are and what's kind of going on. So it's different telling of the story. After watching Morgan's debut on the show, I have to say some Fear the Walking Dead fans might find the character's arrival a bit troubling in terms of just how much of the flagship series bleeds into the spinoff. After all, Fear has always carried its own tone and explored themes unique to its settings and characters. The Fear season 4 premiere played a little too close to Walking Dead for comfort, but the following episode definitely begins to give the story a bit more shape. And watching Morgan hang out with John Dory really is a pleasure. When we last left Madison, Alicia, Nick, and Strand, their fates were uncertain. Well, we knew none of these main characters would actually be killed off-screen after Nick detonated the explosives that brought down the Gonzales Dam. I'm going to pause here because we have a trailer for something, which means we're probably going to go back in a hot second. So I'm going to not get too involved in reading that off to you. See if there's any further comments. Kelly says Naomi seems nefarious. And I wonder if she's done something awful that's brought on by her inability to be with people. Or I'm wondering if it could be the other way around, that she did something awful and now she's just really bad at being with people because of what she did. I'm not really sure. There's a Dietland promo series. I'm not sure what that is. Series premiere. Okay, we are back. So you see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, it's 9:38, and we are at commercial break number 5. Go ahead and get those scores up, which I'll read in a minute, and I'm picking up some chit-chat in the chat room for you guys. Kelly has said something about Naomi seems nefarious. I wonder if she's done something awful that is brought on by her inability to be with people. And I was kind of wondering if it was the other way around, that she's awkward because of something awful that happened to her at this FEMA station. And she sounds like she thinks she is responsible for those guys having died. Joan mentions, well, considering most normal people don't know how to hotwire a car. Yes, we do, Joan. What's wrong with you? Makes you wonder who she's been involved with in the past. Jones says, and there it is. Strand can't handle people seeing the possibility that he could redeem himself. Kelly says she was hiding there. Yes. Jones says, wonder if this is where she lost her child that she mentioned blurred out to John in last week's episode. I'm wondering that. Kelly says, and she isn't a nurse. Well, just curious, Kelly, what did I miss that you came to that conclusion? And Jonah said, wow, lots of useful info and stuff. There's a title reference run. She lost the gun. Guessing she knew these people, maybe left them to die. Jonah's gone 725. Kelly's at 75 and I'm at 75. So actually we're still pretty close up. And looks like we have a couple of seconds. So I will try to squeeze in some more article for you. Let's see. Leaving the lives of Alicia, Nick, and Strand on the line after the explosion was a neat way for the showrunners to craft their story without being restricted by loose plot threads. In the end, we always knew these characters would find their way back to each other. For all intents and purposes, Season 4 is a fresh start for the Clark family and Strand. They escaped Tijuana and somehow made it all the way to Texas. We don't see that journey in the season's opening episodes, although the cast does tease that flashbacks make up a big part of the storytelling in the first half of the season. Quote, a lot of was playing around with time this season, which was to a point where it was actually confusing for us, too. I was like, wait, where are we? Explains Dumdum Carey. The cast teases that fans will get to see what happened to the characters between Season 3 and Season 4, which means we might get to see what happened to Daniel and Kalataka, who are absent in the first two episodes. Quote, there's some devastating events that happen, actually, and they may happen early on, Domingo says in the flashbacks. You have to figure out, how did that happen? How did we get there? Where are they jumping to? Where are they going back to? This is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful wife. I'm just kidding. That's not in the article. I do think we're going to go back in a second. So I'm going to pause here. Oh, no, we have a PlayStation thing. Okay. In general, it's not quite clear how time is going to work this season. For one thing, the show has done a bit of a time jump to catch up to Walking Dead. If the first three seasons of Fear took place in the early years of the zombie outbreak and Morgan is joining the show after all of the events of Season 7, means the spinoff has leapt quite a few years into the future. Kirkman himself has tried to explain the timeline between both shows in the past, but any attempt to do that on my part might result in a painful headache. Let's see. Okay, still commercials. So, quote, you really have to be on your toes and thinking about how this is all going to piece together, because the first half, it's like a puzzle, hence Dumdum Carey. You'll see main characters in very different places, too, because there's play and time. You'll see them in headspaces, emotional places that are so contrasting, very starkly different. When we do reunite with these characters in Season 4, they've already accomplished the impossible, to find a permanent home where they can live in peace. That home is a settlement called the Dell Diamond, a baseball stadium in a town about 20 minutes outside of Austin called Round Rock, home of the AAA minor league team, the Express. A sign inside the Dell Diamond actually reads that the stadium is, quote, home of the Armadillos. You can barely tell that people ever played something as trivial as baseball here, though. The field itself has been turned into farmland, complete with a makeshift barn, some shacks and tents, barbecues, and even a swing set. The team's armadillo mascot now guards the fruits and vegetables as a scarecrow. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number 6. Hey guys, 9:50, break number 6. Let's get some scores up. And let's see, I'm going to stay with 7-5 for that. And I will read the comments and then I'll get to the scores in a second. Kelly had said that she figures that Naomi wasn't a nurse because there's that notebook. It was notes about suturing and other random facts useful for survival that she learns. Jones says, good point, Kelly. I didn't catch that either. Yeah, I had assumed it was her notebook. Kelly says it was not the sort of notes that a professional would make, rather than something she didn't want to forget. Jonah said, I didn't catch that the notebook was likely hers. And then Kelly says, Strand tries out being a hero. I actually was surprised in that last scene that Naomi didn't just jump down into the crowd out of guilt of feeling bad that she might have somehow been the reason that they turned. I don't really know. But anyway, she didn't. She shimmied across and is out. Joan says, I'm not really surprised. The others had told John she died, didn't make it out of the stadium when it finally fell. Oh, that's a very good point, Joan. As often happens, some of our regulars always catch little details like that. And Joan says, oh, for the record, I don't know how to hotwire a car, just saying. Joan, I used to know a very long time ago. I certainly don't now. Kelly says, I know how to start one with a screwdriver. It's tons easier than hot wiring. And then tomato. I don't understand the tomato. Anyway, Joan scores at 7.75. Kelly went to 8.75. Okay, so now I'm at the bottom. That's fine. So it looks like we have a couple of minutes before we get back. So I'm going to see if I can get some more of the article out of here. The stands, once full of fans munching on peanuts and hot dogs, are now mostly used for irrigation as pipes run down from the top of the stadium to a giant container full of water. Madison and company have even constructed a ramp with a big plastic sheet over it to catch condensation. The Clarks and other survivors living in the Dell Diamond sleep in the luxury boxes around the stadium. I only got to see one of these rooms, but it was a colorful little space with mix and match pieces of furniture and a view of the gardens below. I found it, Dickens said proudly, as if still in character. Indeed, it's Madison who discovers the stadium and decides that her family can settle there and build it up to a safe haven for other survivors. Quote, yeah, it was a dream scenario for Madison. She's been sort of looking for that kind of to start over, to start a society, start a community again. They found this amazing baseball field. I think it's really fun to be there. I actually like being there, especially since we had so many tough locations last year. It's been really nice to feel like we have a home. End quote. Indeed, something feels more permanent about the Dell Diamond as opposed to La Colonia from season 2 or the Auto Ranch from season 3. This place feels different for the characters, like a place that could actually keep going. Veteran Walking Dead director Michael Satrazemis, the cast and crew lovingly refer to him as Mikey, who is making the jump to Fear this season, also helps the Dell Diamond can stick around for a while, perhaps even as long as Alexandria or the Hilltop. But he's also not making any promises. Quote, yeah, this would be one of those places that you want to keep for a while, says Satrazemis, while admiring the set from a makeshift guard tower on the roof of the stadium. You never know with this show. You get an ounce of hope, and then it takes it away. Same with the ones you love the most. Well, the Walking Dead world is just good like that. It stays unpredictable. I'm waiting to see if we have a commercial. Looks like we're having a trailer for a creepy show, so we're probably going to go back in a minute. I will go ahead and pause here, and then I may have to finish the rest of this article after the show is over. It is fairly long, and I don't mind that. This is fine and well. Oh, Kelly has mentioned that what she was saying is that plant sticking up was a tomato plant, and we are back, so I'll hush, and I'll see you guys at the end. Okay, guys, I am going 8-2-5 as a final score as well. It is 10:05. Sorry, I said 8-8-2-5. I just mean 8-2-5, but you guys know that. That is final score for this. I do hate Alicia. I don't think John is dead. I honestly do not, because they spent a lot of time on him. Of course, I do think maybe now it's relevant that Naomi knows all those things about sutures and all that other kind of business. But let me see about the comments in between the last scores. Gail Hurd is going to be guest on Talking Dead tonight. And musical person Light, girl with very bright hair. I don't know anything about that. Kelly's doing two things at once and just accidentally typed to her daughter in New Zealand. They need to start collecting their own poop so they can keep the fields fertile. And she's like, what? Good job, Mom. Joan says now even Madison is starting to plan for a downfall. And we thought Madison was going to come out of the Land Rover, but no, it turns out it's Laura. And we're all kind of pissed at Alicia for shooting John Dory over this. I don't know why the hell she did that. That was like the dumbest thing. I don't hate Alicia because she was trying for Naomi, who seems to be with the Vultures. I don't care. She didn't have a good shot, and that was not a good thing to do. You know, she getting mad at Naomi, but I don't think she was going to be able to pull that off. Anyhow, Talking Dead is not immediately on. I am going to switch over and read you guys the rest of the article since I started it, and I don't want to go through it again because it's super long. So if you're able to stick around for a hot minute, I will complete this. If you got to go, I understand and appreciate you staying for at least the show. So back where we were, quote, so Michael Zastrzemski is talking about the stadium. While it may seem that Madison, Strand, Alicia, and Nick have found their paradise amidst all the chaos, the cast warns that these things are not exactly what they seem on the inside. Quote, we're still licking our wounds and figuring it out, says Domingo. We're finding resources, we're finding a new way to be, but we're still carrying a lot of baggage. And as you see us in the top of season four, it may appear that things are different, but we're still holding on to some things. End quote. One person who has still quite a bit of unfinished business is Luciana, who left Nick and the others at the auto farm in the opening episodes of season three. The character is living at the Del Diamond by the time we reunite with her, although we don't know how she got there. Garcia is coy about her return. I don't know what's happening, but I have a lot to say, especially to Nick. When we first met Luciana in season two, she thought she had found a permanent home in La Colonia, a place that was safe from the flesh eaters and the gangs taking over the country. That, of course, wasn't the case. This time around, Garcia says that Luciana might have finally found a place that might actually last. Quote, I mean, the reason why they're here is because they discover a better way to live, and they found a hope and a future. So even for me as an actor, I have to really shift my survival instinct because now I'm dealing with, I don't want to say first world problems because there are no first world problems right now, but I mean, this is what they were looking for. So I had to shift my mind like, oh, now we're okay, right? There's nothing going on? Not quite. As you might expect, another faction eventually shows up at the Del Diamond gates without a ticket or any interest in buying one. They simply like what Madison and the others have going on and they want it. They're appropriately called the Vultures. But taking the Del Diamond won't be easy. As Garcia puts it, this is what we built. This is our home. This is everything. Okay, now we're at the end of the article. I will see there's a couple more comments from the chat room that I'll share with you guys. John's like, I don't hate Alicia, but I hope John isn't dead. I liked his character. That shot looked fatal, though. I don't hate Alicia because she was trying for Naomi, who seems to be with the Vultures. I still don't think it was a smart move, but not sure she'll make it to Talking Dead, but she can stay on for another minute or two. Kelly's got to go. She's got three dogs to deal with tonight. I guess Dioji's having a slumber party over at Shea Kelly. All right, well, that's cool, and thanks for joining us for as long as you could, Kelly. It's 10:09, and I finished the article, so I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go because I don't really want to wait up for Talking Dead. It takes a while. Anyhow, Joan, thanks for sticking with us, and don't forget, you guys, to come back next week for episode 7 in season 4, and thanks for joining us.